Chapter 32. Zavala finished his detailed inspection of the sub-vet and took a step back from the trailer, his mouth widening in a broad smile. Austin took his friend's expression as a good sign. On the return trip to the abandoned boatyard, Zavala had tried to be upbeat, but he couldn't hide the sadness in his eyes at the damage to his creation. "Most of the damage is cosmetic," he said. "I built her like a tank, so the frame is intact, and the propulsion system is in good shape. But the lights are cockeyed, and some of the sensors were damaged. She's going to be out of commission until I get back to the States." Austin put his hand on Zavala's shoulder. "She was wounded in a good cause. We'd be dead meat otherwise. You can always build another and donate this one to the Kussler Car Museum." "Looks like your ride is here." A tow truck had turned into the boatyard. Austin had asked Mustafa to line up something more suited than Ahmed's chicken truck to the task of towing the submersible trailer back to the airport. The captain had made a few phone calls and found someone willing to do the job. While the truck hooked up to the trailer, Austin thanked Mustafa again for all his help. Zavala rode in the tow truck. Austin and Karina got into their rental car and followed the trailer along the coastal road to Dalaran Airport. Austin and Karina hitched a ride to Istanbul on the transport plane with Zavala. They parted company at the airport. Zavala would be working late to prepare the submersible for its trip home and planned to stay near the airport. Austin and Karina went back to the hotel where they had spent their first night in Istanbul. This time, they shared the same room. The next morning, Austin caught a cab to the Bosphorus archaeological dig and walked down a makeshift wooden ramp that had been set up for wheelbarrow traffic. He wove his way past the hundreds of workers who were hacking away at the exposed sea bottom with picks and shovels. Hanley knelt in the hardened mud, examining pieces of broken pottery. The archaeologist got to his feet and extended a mud-caked hand.
"Good to see you, Kurt. Ready to get back into some good old marmor and muck?"
"I'll have to take a rain check," Austin said. He surveyed the activity on the site. "Looks like the project is going well."
Hanley's face flushed with excitement. "This is the most fantastic dig I've ever participated in."
"I hope you won't be too busy to do me a small favor," Kurt said.
"I still owe you and the young lady for your volunteer work.
Where is Karina, by the way?"
"Freshening up. I'm meeting her for lunch."
"Please give her my best regards.
Now, what can I do for you?"
Austin reached into a canvas bag he had borrowed from Captain Mustafa and pulled out the latex molds of the second navigator.
"Could you make plaster of Paris casts from these?"
Hanley held a mold at an angle to view the relief.
"No problem. It will take a couple of hours for the stuff to dry."
"We'll come by after lunch."
Hanley took the bag and its contents.
"Where's Joe?"
"Nursing his submersible. It got a bit banged up on a dive and probably won't be of use to you."
"Sorry to hear that," Hanley said.
"It would have helped us explore the site's perimeter, but, as you can see, most of the excavation is dry."
Austin said he would be back after lunch. He hailed a taxi and told the driver to take him to the Topkapi Palace. The sprawling complex of buildings, courtyards, pavilions, and parks dominated Seraglio Point, a hilly promontory at the junction of the Golden Horn, the Sea of Marmara, and the Bosphorus. The Ottoman sultans and their retinues had lived at Topkapi for 400 years, during the heyday of the Ottoman Empire. The palace grounds had been transformed into a museum. Austin strolled between the twin turrets into a park shaded by leafy trees and teeming with tourists from every part of the world. He passed the treasury with its fortune in fine jewels and made his way to the building housing the Cognale restaurant.
Karina sat at a table in the courtyard, gazing out at the sun-sparkled water. She had changed from the casual outfit she wore on the turquoise coast and wore a long-skirted dress of dark russet that complemented her cinnamon and cream complexion. Austin wore tan slacks, foregoing his standard Hawaiian color riot for a more conservative dark green polo shirt. He pulled up a chair. The Sultans really knew their real estate. Location, location, and location. She greeted him with a dazzling smile. It's spectacular. The prices are exorbitant and the food is less than 5-star, but the dining view is the best in Istanbul. You can't go wrong with the salad or the kebabs. The service is cafeteria style. Austin offered to do the honors. He carried 2 fresh green salads and lemonades back to the table. Karina took a dainty bite of lettuce. An excellent recommendation. Is there any place you haven't been? I get to travel a lot in my job. What exactly is your job? I'm an engineer. She cocked a finely arched eyebrow. Numa is world-renowned for its study of the oceans. But you and Joe spend most of your time fighting bad men and rescuing maidens in distress. Thank you. You're welcome, Austin said. I'm also head of the Numa Special Assignments Team. It consists of Joe and 2 others who investigate mysteries on, under, and above the sea that don't fit easily into any mainstream category. And how does this mystery stack up with your past experience? Austin gazed off at the queue of cargo ships that stretched off into the distance. Looking at events objectively, I'd say that this is a case of someone wanting something, ready to destroy anything or anyone in the way. Subjectively, I'm afraid it goes deeper than that. What do you mean? You get a sixth sense when you spend a lot of time underwater. It's telling me that there is more to this than what we see. There's evil lurking behind the violence. As if things weren't strange enough, she said with a nervous smile. What do we do next? Enjoy our lunch, savor the view and the sunshine, and then check out the plaster of Paris casts Hanley is making for us. Do you think the casts will tell us anything? That's my hope. Someone didn't want us to find the second statue. I think we've got all we can out of Turkey. The Numa plane is heading back to the States tomorrow. We can regroup at home. I'd like to look deeper into the Baltazar question. And I've got to salvage the pieces of the national tour. Kurt, she said, lowering her voice, don't turn around. I think one of those men who attacked us on the boat is sitting at a table. Maybe you've got the jitters. He rose from his seat and came around behind Karina. He put his hands on the back of her chair and quickly scanned the other tables. A man sitting alone saw Austin glance his way and raised a newspaper as if he were reading it. You're right. I'll see what he's up to. Karina looked on in horror as Austin strolled over to the table. He peered over the top of the newspaper directly into the man's face. Peekaboo. The man lowered the newspaper and his lips curled into a snarl. We've got to stop meeting like this. I don't even know your name. The name is Buck. You won't have to remember it for long. You're dead meat, Austin. How'd you get out of the woods? We called in a chopper to pick us up. Austin sized up the husky physique and the military brush cut. American accent. Green Beret or Delta Force? Neither one, smart ass. Navy SEALs, he said with a proud smile. That explains why you swam so well. The SEALs are a good outfit. Why'd they throw you out?
Austin must have struck a nerve with his wild guess because the smile vanished. Unnecessary roughness.
Who are you working for now?
Austin said. Someone who wants you dead.
Sorry, I can't oblige your employer.
The man gave him a nasty chuckle. They want you to suffer, but I'm going to make it quick. I owe you. When you killed Ridley, I became squad leader. Look around.
Austin surveyed the courtyard restaurant. He picked out the other men he had last seen swimming for an island. One lounged against a wall, a third man sat at a table. They stared at Austin as if they wanted him on a dinner platter.
I see you've brought along the rest of the Turkish swimming team.
Go along with us. You can make it easy on the lady.
You'll kill her quick and easy, too?
Buck shook his head.
My employer has other plans for her.
Nice chatting with you, Buck. I'll explain the hopelessness of our situation to Ms. McCarty.
Austin sauntered back to the table where Karina sat, her face frozen in fear.
Good spotting, he said. There are three of them. They want my hide, but they want you alive.
Dear God, what do we do?
They won't try anything now. It's too public. Let's go for a stroll.
Austin guided Karina in the direction of the palace gate. His pursuers kept pace 100 or so feet behind. He scoured his memory and tried to recall the layout of Top Kapı and the palace grounds, searching for a hidey hole where they would be temporarily safe. An idea came to him. Not a total escape, but it might gain them valuable time. Karina saw the faint smile on Austin's face and wondered if her friend had gone mad.
What are you thinking?
She said in an anxious voice. No time for questions. Just do exactly what I tell you. Karina was an independent woman who bridled at anyone telling her what to do, but Austin seemed to have the knack of getting them out of tight places. She felt him tug gently on her arm and walked faster to keep up. Austin guided her through the camera-toting crowds milling in the courtyard outside the treasury. They ducked around the corner of an elegant standalone marble building that once housed the Sultan's library and broke into a run. They ran through the ornate Gate of Felicity into another expansive courtyard. Austin guided her to the right, dashing through an open chamber where the Sultan's viziers used to meet, his eye fixed on a long row of colonnades and a ticket gate for the Top Kapı harem. They were in luck. The ticket taker who normally manned the gate had wandered off to have a smoke. Hardly breaking stride, Austin pulled Karina past the untended gate to a door. It was unlocked. Austin opened the door, pushed Karina ahead, and stepped through the portal into the Sultan's harem. He closed the door behind them.
What do we do now?
Karina said. She was breathless from their last-minute dash. Austin's wound was kicking up again. He put his hand to his ribs.
I'll let you know just as soon as I figure that out, he said.